Morning Fellowship Church. My name is Tom Ben Milligan. I'm happy to be here in the sanctuary, happy to be speaking into your homes wherever you are this morning. If you're just tuning in now, you might have not have caught the announcement that's been rolling on the screen, which is we're celebrating communion today, which means if you're at home, you should find some bread. If you have some wine or juice, bring that as well for the end of the service. It's my honor to speak to you in the name of the Lord. Here's the way Jesus greets us. Grace and peace to you from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. And this is the psalmist's call to worship from Psalm 47. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is awesome, a great king over all the earth. Friends, let us worship God today, for God is great, good, and loving king. Let us worship God today because we are God's people, living under his rule and reign. Let us worship God. We're going to sing together.
This reading is from James chapter 4, verses 6 to 10. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves before to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into dejection. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our God is so gracious and loving that we don't need to fear to open our hearts to him, so that we are able to admit the fullness of our lives. Some is beautiful and good, and some is hurtful and even hateful. Hear our prayer of confession. We confess that we do not follow Jesus in all that we do. We love with condition. We judge and condemn. We confess that we fear what is different. We confess that it's easier to lock our doors than open our doors and receive those who don't look like we look or act the way we act. We know that we have not lived out your call to share in abundant life and unconditional love. Forgive our sin and empower us to be imitators of Christ in love and service. We ask you to give us the courage to change. We ask that you give us the energy, intelligence, imagination, and love to be your people in all we say and do. In the name of Jesus, and for the sake of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And hear God's words of assurance. Friends in Christ, know this. The mercy of God is from everlasting to everlasting. And I remind you of this surpassing grace. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Alleluia. Amen.
Will you join me in a word of prayer as we spend a time in study? Lord God, we remember Jesus saying to us that you see the heart. You are able to penetrate not only to see what we're thinking, but to meet us in our deepest need. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, that this will not be a simply human talk, but that your words will be speaking to each one of us and to us as a congregation. We pray, Lord, that we may remember that your word never goes out without bringing back a return. So we look forward to not only what we hear this morning, but the fruit that it produces in our lives over the coming days and weeks. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is the second in a summer series that Pastor Mark and I are doing on the Psalms. This is Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand. The rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us break their chains, they say. Let us cast off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, on my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will give the nations as your inheritance, the ends of the earth as your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter and break them in pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Fellowship. This morning, I'm happy to be here for two reasons. The first reason is a continual one whenever I come, that you as a congregation, in your sense that you need God to do a revitalizing work in this congregation and in the community around it, you have hired a pastor whose primary job is to be your presence, the presence of Jesus Christ in this community, that he's modeling that for you, and that you're changing a little bit the idea of what a pastor is. So you're saying to him, you don't have to preach every Sunday, which is a pretty heavy task that takes up time. We're going to have you preach half the time, and then we're going to rely on other pastors to come in. I'm so happy to be able to help you pursue that vision, to free your pastor to be at work beyond the walls and beyond the membership of this congregation. The particular reason today that I'm happy to be here is because of this psalm. This psalm talks about fellowship. And that's your name, koinonia, partnership, togetherness, sharing, participation. When we gather at the table later on, we're going to talk about our fellowship, our participation, our koinonia in the bread and the wine. And one of the things that we need to know about this psalm is that there are different kinds of fellowship at play. The first fellowship is a fellowship of rebellion. All the rulers, all the kings, all the peoples are gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. They are a united front. They have come all together to say to each other and to God, we don't want your rule. This is very important for us to understand as we enter this psalm. Last week I mentioned that as pastors and scholars look at the psalms, it sometimes feels that they're just kind of a jumble, but there's a certain order, and there's this sense that Psalms 1 and 2 stand as a doorway into the praise of God's people. And when we get to Psalm 2, we realize that a picture is being painted of humanity that is not very flattering. That is, when we are united in this psalm, we are united against God. And so the psalmist pictures in the first stanza, he pictures the gathering of all these kings and nations that they represent, and their full intent to throw off the fetters, to break the chains of the Lord and his anointed. And there's something about us that we need to acknowledge, that a group of people gathering together, united in a common purpose against bondage, is something that appeals to us. If we saw that on the news, if we saw a group of people getting together and said, we're in bondage and we're not going to take it anymore, we'd say, you go. You go. That's great. We're about freedom. And yet in this psalm, this is not the picture that we get. And I often talk about, I've been jumping into the psalms with some intensity for about 10 years now, maybe more. And I often find that psalms are best digested whole. That is, like whole grains. If you take a grain like wheat or rice and you scuff off the stuff that's harder to chew, you actually lose a lot of the beneficial stuff in the plant. And so like that, I always say psalms are best eaten whole. And what we tend to do is find verses that we really like and put them on a poster with sailboats and rainbows and sunshine. And yet we miss kind of the dark side of the psalms that makes it very powerful in our lives. How do you get from darkness to light? How do you get from sorrow to joy? There's not much in this psalm that you would say, I really want to put that on a poster. In fact, God is not a very pleasant character in this psalm. First thing we hear him doing is he's laughing at us. He's laughing at all the people gathered together against him. And then he's scaring us. He's terrifying us in his anger. And then you hear the words of his anointed, his Messiah, his Christ. All those three words mean the same thing in different languages. And this character stands up and he says, I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I've become your father. Ask of me and I will give the nations as your inheritance, the peoples of the world as your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter and break them in pieces. First of all, you hear his what sounds to us like arrogance. Like, who is he to say, I'm God's special one? You know, the Jews have endured for thousands of years the burden of walking into the world saying they are God's chosen. And you know what we have said, us non-Jewish people, to them? We have said, we'll show you who's God's chosen. We have tormented them. We have persecuted them. We have tortured them. We have killed them. Because they have said, we're God's elect. We're God's special people. And we hate it when people say that. We hate it when Joseph says to his brothers, you know, I'm a bit more special than all of you. My dad loves me more than he loves you. They take him and they throw him in a pit. And they think he's getting off easy because their first plan was to kill him. When we hear the anointed speak in this psalm, I think our first response it should be, that is insufferable arrogance. And then he says, not only am I God's anointed one, his special one, his son, he says, God has promised to give me the nations if I ask him. And then what I get to do with those nations is pound them to dust. That doesn't sound like a very pleasant image. I don't know how you feel about being pounded to dust. But that is the doorway into the people of God. You have to humble yourself. I have to humble myself. You see, what God is doing, what the anointed is doing with that scepter of iron, is he is not destroying us. Rather, he's destroying our identities. Because we spend most of our lives constructing a sense of who we are. We say, I'm a teacher. I'm a father. I'm a mother. I'm a bus driver. I'm a good person. I'm a church member. I'm a conservative. I'm a liberal. All of these ways. I'm a Canadian. I'm a Dutch Canadian. I'm whatever. We go on and on. We establish not only our identity, we establish our tribe. These are the people who are with me. All the other bus drivers, all the other moms, whatever your identity is, you share that with a cohort. We have such a strong desire to belong. We have such a strong need to be part of a tribe, because I think we understand at a very deep level that life is scary, and that the way we protect ourselves from the threats of life is to have a community. And God said at the very beginning, when he made Adam, he says, it's not good for this guy to be alone. And he began to craft a means for him to have a family, made Eve. And we see the beginning of human family and human community. So it's not that human community is wrong, but it's what we in our brokenness have done with it. We have established our tribe. And together with our sense of who we are, our sense of strength in numbers, we have come up to the Lord and we have said to him, we think we deserve our freedom. Now, I've obviously had a long time to think about this. I don't know how it strikes you, but I'd simply like to ask you, as a church and as a community, whether you've ever said to someone in your church or to your pastor, you know, it's not only me that feels this way. You know what that is? That's strength in numbers. That's what this psalm is talking about. When we say, I have a lot of people on my side. And when we go through elections as a country, we try to make sure that we have enough people on our side to make sure our ruler is elected. And God says to us, the universe is not a democracy. It's ruled by me, and I have appointed my beloved, my Messiah, my anointed, to rule as my representative. And so it doesn't matter. The Lord scoffs at us whenever we come together and say, I'm not the only one who feels this way. I've got a lot of people. There are over half the planet is women, and we are going to be heard. I could say the same about men. Men have been ruling the planet for a long, long time. And it's good for women's voices to be heard. But that danger of saying, we're united in this, and my voice is multiplied by the voices of others who agree with me, who are part of my tribe. That becomes, in our spiritual condition, part of our rebellion against God. And the Lord just laughs at us. He says, this universe is not ruled by vote. There is one vote. It's mine. I have appointed my person to rule on Zion. So, when the anointed says, the Father said to me, he would give me the nations as my inheritance, and what I would do with those nations is I would pound them to dust. He's saying, I'm not going to destroy these people, but I am going to destroy their sense of power and entitlement because of the tribe to which they belong. Whether that's you feel powerful because you're Canadian, whether it's powerful because your gender, your status, your education, whatever it is that you've carefully crafted as your identity, God says, I don't care about that. That has no political standing in my presence. I don't care how many preachers you line up and say, Lord, we've had enough. The Lord continues to say, I don't care if you're a preacher. The only thing that matters is whether you acknowledge that I have established my son in Zion. So much about becoming a follower of Jesus is humility. Learning to say, yeah, I've made a lot of money, but it doesn't matter. I've raised a lot of children, but it doesn't matter. I have lots of grandchildren, but it doesn't matter. The only thing that God cares about is whether I'm going to come and kiss the Son and acknowledge that He is God's beloved. Whenever we come to the table, we are being asked to go through the eye of the needle. Jesus says, it is so hard for rich, powerful people to get into the kingdom of heaven because they think they have something to bargain with God. They think they have power. But all of that has to be unloaded if you're going to get into the kingdom of heaven. You have to let the Holy Spirit deconstruct you, take away all of your sense of privilege, power, pride, all of your sense of your community, who keeps you secure, and say to God, I acknowledge you're chosen. I acknowledge Jesus. I want to say one last thing. We're coming to the table this morning, but I dare to say something about this time of renewal in fellowship. Because it's very important to understand the nature of our fellowship. Do we have security in numbers? We saw a picture of the of communion, and someone remarked that must have been from a long time ago because there was a great big stack of communion cups, and we've dwindled. We are a smaller congregation. Does that say to us, well, that's problematic because the more people we have, the stronger we are? See, that's a spirit of rebellion against the Lord. The Lord says, I don't care how many people you have on your side. The only thing that matters is how you feel about Jesus. Do you acknowledge him as the Lord's son? So that matters for us at this time. We have to be really clear about who we are. And we have to be really clear about what we're inviting people to. It is so easy, I think, to inadvertently play the human game and say, there's lots of lonely people out there who would love to be part of a warm, caring congregation. Instead of saying, there's lots of people out there who are trying to build an identity against God, and they need to be led to acknowledge Jesus. And that is a painful path, the unloading of all our pretense. And yet, that is why this congregation exists, because we are not like any other human community. We do not play those games of power and votes and numbers. Or we should not, because the Spirit of God says the door to this place is, are you willing to come and kiss the Son? I said that I've been in the Psalms for a while. At one point in my life, I was spiritually drowning, and I just grabbed onto something, and it was memorizing Psalms. That's what I did for months. This was one of the ones I memorized. I'd also gone on a walk with a friend, and what we would do every week when we walked is we'd take a passage of Scripture and we'd meditate on it as we walked and pray about it and pray into it. And one week, this was the psalm that we took. We were walking along a trail and we've been meditating on this psalm, and there was a log across the trail. And I had a deep sense that that log represented my crossing over from being on the side of rebellion against God to being on the side of the Son. There was the Holy Spirit. I don't know what overcame me. But that was so clear in my sense that when I crossed that log, it was representing my transition from foolishness in rebellion against the Lord and his anointed to kissing the sun. Sorry, I've gone out of the camera. And when I crossed that log, I was elated. I had so much joy. I pumped my fists in the air that I had made a decision for wisdom, that I'd come to my senses. This is my hope for us, that each day represents a choice for us to stop building our power in the old human way, but to simply enter the presence of God through acknowledging his anointed. Will you pray with me? Lord God, thank you for your faithfulness, which sometimes looks like stubbornness. You don't give in to our rebellion. You don't cede the throne. You don't allow the universe to become a republic. We ask, Lord, that you will give us each a spirit of wisdom, and that this wisdom will abound beyond these walls, inviting all of us, around us and among us, to come and kiss the sun, your anointed. We pray it in his name. Amen. Let's sing.
Please join me in our prayer this morning. God of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ, you promise to hear us when we pray for you in his name. Confident in your love and mercy, we offer our prayer. Empower the church throughout the world in its life and witness. Break down the barriers that divide so that, united in your truth and love, the church may confess your name, share one baptism, sit together at one table and serve you in one common ministry. Hear the cries of the world's hungry and suffering. Give us, who consume most of the earth's resources, the will to reorder our lives, that all may have their rightful share of the food, medical care, and shelter, and so have the necessities of a life of dignity. Restore among us a love of the earth you created for our home. Help us put an end to ravishing its land, air, and waters, and give us respect for all your creatures, that living in harmony with everything you have made, your whole creation may resound in an anthem of praise to your glorious name. Renew our nation in the ways of justice and peace. Guide those who make and administer our laws to build a society based on trust and respect. Erase prejudices that oppress. Free us from crime and violence. Guard our youth from the perils of drugs and materialism. Give all citizens a new vision of a life of harmony. Lord, strengthen this congregation in its work and worship. Fill our hearts with your self-giving love, that our voices may speak your praise and our lives may conform to the image of your Son. Nourish us with your word in sacraments, that we may faithfully minister in your name and witness to your love and grace for all the world. Look with compassion on all who suffer. Support with your love those with incurable and stigmatized diseases, those unjustly imprisoned, those denied dignity, those who live without hope, those who are homeless or abandoned. As you have moved toward us in love, so lead us to be present with them in their suffering, in the name of Jesus Christ. Sustain those among us who need your healing touch. Make the sick whole, give hope to the dying, comfort those who mourn, uphold all who suffer in body or mind, not only those we know and love, but also those known only to you, that they may know the peace and joy of your supporting care. O God, in your loving purpose, answer our prayers and fulfill our hopes. In all things for which we pray, give us the will to seek to bring them about, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.